Yo, what's good, everybody? Hey, do y'all like that? What's good, everybody? Do that? Y'all like that intro? I feel like I say that every time. Yo, what's good, everybody? But seriously, I really can't thank y'all enough, man. Y'all been subscribing. Y'all been just on board. Y'all sharing. Y'all doing everything that I really didn't expect. You know, some of the stuff I kind of expected, but a lot of y'all really showing out, and I appreciate that. Today's episode is going to be a little different, but before I get into that, I need y'all to do me a huge favor. My brother, G. LaRon Rainey, out of Youngstown, Ohio. He resides in, I think, either Louisville, Kentucky. I know he in Kentucky, you know. He is definitely in my top five musical influencers. He's like one of my biggest brothers. It's so much I can really say about him, but more importantly, he really needs our prayer. And it's one of those moments where, like, this is, God has to make the way, you know. I love my guy, you know. Taught me a lot. You know, I kind of grew up in music. I really had a couple music guys that really inspired me out of that area. It was him, Mark Jackson. Mark honestly is really one of the reasons why I play the way I play, you know, when it comes to strings and worship and all of that. Mark is really the reason why I took that approach. But do me a favor, please. You know, I ain't saying be deep, gotta grab oil and go around the house. You know, however you pray, just throw his name out there for me. Well, so today it's gonna be a little tough because this is really the first time that I've ever had this conversation. And, you know, I said it in a small little clip on social media that, you know, people ask me on public platform, how was it? You know, what was life like after your divorce? And, you know, I hit it there, hit this, hit that, but I've really never really just sat down and just had a in-depth, transparent conversation. And, you know, I know a lot of people throw that word around, transparent, so much, but sometimes, you know, a lot of transparency is really trash-parency. You know, it don't be transparency, because sometimes I think what the things that we think we're being transparent about causes people to do worse, you know, than what they were doing. And that's trash, you know. And they always talk about the bad of things and the this and this and that. And there's never really a term in the transparency where it's like, where did you get the victory? You know what I mean? Hope that makes sense. So life after divorce for Tim Clinton. First let me say this. I met my ex-wife when I was 18 years old, 18 or not, I think it was one of them, 18, 19. I got married at 20 years old. And the thing about marriage, what, you know, a lot of people don't realize is there has to be. And I just, and what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to base it on my own opinion. I believe that there should be some sort of mentorship, especially for young couples that decide to marry, you know. And, you know, especially if you don't really have that type of influence, you know what I mean? You know, my father, he's never been married. I really never had that male influence that set me down and say, hey, this is what to expect. You know, I never really had the wise counsel. So I really went into it just leaning to my own understanding. You know, what the scriptures say, in all thy ways, you know, I acknowledge myself. And whatever I thought marriage should be like at 20 years old, that's what it was. Now, and let me say this. This is not a setup for me to use as an excuse on why it didn't work, okay? Because that's not what I'm doing. I'm just telling you, just giving you a small back drop on, you know, when I got married. And I want to say this for all the divorce folk that's always when they talk about divorce, man, most of my marriage was good. Say it again, you know. I know a lot of people always talking about, you know, this and that, this happened, and I just couldn't wait to get out and all that. No, I don't got that testimony. I had a good wife. She was good, and we was both learning. You know what I mean? But no. She was good. She cooked. She did everything, you know. We took trips. We had fun with the kids, you know. And so as things progress, you know, pride and arrogance, you know, I started to kind of like grow in influence, you know, got caught up in some stuff. And, you know, I feel so free to, when you're free and you get over something, you know, and it takes time too, you know, and I'm going to get into all that. It's easier to discuss it because at one point I was so embarrassed to even talk about it, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, I did some stuff that I wasn't supposed to have been doing, and my marriage ended in divorce. I don't even want to say that first year. Man, that first month was complete hell. I'm talking about life-changing. Because the thing is, you know, me and my ex, we was married for about, I think, I want to say 8 years. I think 8 or 9 or something like that. And when you're used to that, you know, get into those spaces of, you know, the cycles. You know, I knew when I woke up what I was going to see. When I went to bed, I don't know what we was on a certain time. And so when I was waking up, I'm like, dang, I ain't got nobody next to me. Dang, where's my kids? And to be honest, if you're really not strong, you can easily, quickly slip into a depression. You know what I mean? And I think, honestly, you know, I would have to say it was God, but I think, man, I was depressed, you know. And again, in those moments, I probably could have somehow worked it out, but I was so young and I was so immature, it was terrible, you know, because then if any of y'all knew my personality back then, you know, I had this show called The Zone, you know, and for a living, you know, we used to tear folk down, tear them up, and have all types of crazy conversation. And it's like my on-air personality was so brutal, you know, the pride. I was like, nah, I ain't no, I'm sticking to my guns, forget it. And so, you know, it ended me, where, you know, I ended up. And so, like I said, that first month, it was absolutely terrible, man. I didn't know how to cook. Because I got to think, man, most of my 20s, I spent married. I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know how to pay bills. This is when you know you had a good wife. My wife, ex-wife, did everything. You know, and we shared a lot of stuff, but bills, food, all of that stuff, she handled it. Washing clothes, you know, and so it was like I had to, at 29, going into my 30th year, had to learn how to do all of this stuff. Man, I started, I can't believe I'm saying this because it's embarrassing. Man, I was eating, what's them sandwiches? Cheese sandwiches? with the bread you put on the stove. Man, I wasn't doing eating noodles. I remember I was eating so much fast food. Cook a steak. Are y'all okay? Never. Mm-mm. Green beans, that wasn't happening. Mm-mm. No. So I had to really, it felt like I was a kid again, you know, I was a big old kid. I had to learn everything. And then, you know, I had to relearn relationships because when you out the game for so long, the game has changed 10 years after that. So I'm like, I'm out here, I'm looking around, I'm like, man, who are these women? You know what I mean? And so I ain't gonna lie, man, I was, when I got a divorce, I was knocking them. I was knocking them down. I'm be honest. I was. And that was part of my depression though, because I used that as a temporary supplement to relieve me of the pain of divorce, because divorce is painful. And it's not right, you know, what I did, but I didn't have no other outlet. And since I always had the appearance of being strong, everybody around me thought I was all right. Wow. Yeah. Everybody thought, you know, Tim is good as Tim. You know, he's the musician. Everybody be after him, and they want him to do this, and they want him to do that. He don't have no issues. He don't have no problems. It was rare that, you know, anyone would say, hey, Tim, how you feeling, man? You know, you good, bro? I didn't get that, you know? And I understood why I didn't get that, because I never put myself publicly where it looked like I was doing bad. I always made it look like everything was all right. Man, I was going, and listen, I know I laugh and joke on social media about prayer wars and all that stuff, but I do really consider myself as a godly man. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the things of God, I really take those things seriously. But man, I started going to the clubs. I started doing a whole bunch of stuff. And it was really, you know, doing those things to so the day would go by quicker. You know, my house was like a house party. I was literally doing everything, you know. And I really lived that life for real. I really lived that doing one thing on one day, doing another thing, going to church, leaving church, going club. I was doing all types of stuff because it was like the new norm, you know what I mean? And again, like I said, you know, I did these things because there was a pain that I didn't know how to get rid of. And those things helped me cover up the pain. You know, I didn't really do any crazy drugs or anything. And, you know, some people resort to that, but that was my drug was other stuff. You know what I mean? It's all drugs. You know, all drugs don't be the same. Some people take different supplements and all that stuff, but that was my, you know, particular drug. And most of the leaders in Northeast Ohio, you know, they knew, you know, I was divorced. But and here's the thing. I ain't judging them at all, but they really didn't care. You know, certain people only care about what you can do for them when there's a need or when they have a need. And if you're not able to fulfill that need, they can care less about what you got going on with your life. You know what I mean? And I'm not judging them, you know, because again, you know, people didn't really, they're like, it's, you know, Tim got it going on. I'm driving around with an old loud car, had this old white kind of car I had. It was like a Charger. It wasn't no Charger. It was the door. Well, the rims. I'm showing up thinking, man, you know, it's all perception. If you make people believe you're one way, they automatically think you're that way, because again, I had the influence. You know, I had literally one of the biggest gospel radio, you know, shows probably of all time. And I'm not just saying that because of me, but that's just the real. And so, you know, I moved to New York. And the thing is, I when I left, you know, I kind of left with the same thing. You know, some people think because they relocate, you know, they think, oh, that's going to be a fresh start. You know, that could be true. But if you don't change your ways, you're just going to take your ways with you. You know, and so I went up there with the same old foolishness. And let me just say this, man. You know, people always screaming the grace, mercy of God. No, no. I believe in that because, you know, even through 10, it would be 10 years since I've been divorced this year. And that's the only thing that I have that sustained me. You know, all the things that I've done, all the places I've been and the people I've connected to, I mean, God has really, really been good. You know, and sometimes, you know, people try to congratulate and say, Tim, you know, this and that. And it'd be hard for me to say thank you because the truth is for real, man, it was God. I don't take credit for nothing. I'm always going to send that glory back to him. And I posted a video of me playing on Instagram probably a week ago. And I really didn't go into detail, but that was me sitting in my new living room maybe 2 weeks. I remember I got my apartment. I remember I had to apply for an apartment and all of that. And I remember I bought some render. I had me some Renner Center furniture. I went to it was a Dollar General in the street behind me. I went and got me some pictures, you know. I went and got all the toiletries. I'm like, oh man, I'm out here. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm doing. All everything I had in my house was Rent-A-Center. You know what I mean? Because it was like, hey man, this is the beginning. You know, I had to start all over. You know. But the thing is, it grew me, you know, into the man I am today. I'm literally forever grateful to God, you know, through the ups and downs and trying to figure it out and don't know how this was going to work and how this was going to get paid, you know. He sustained me through all of it. But I want to say this, you know, to couples, young or old, you know, that may feel like marriage is not it, you know? And here's the thing. I don't think everybody is called to be married, you know? I don't even like to use that word called because I'm really not trying to have a church moment. But I just don't think everybody's meant to do it. But if you're in it and you say, man, I want to just go and get out of this, you got to consider what's this going to be like afterwards. You know, if it can be fixed, man, fix it. Don't let church folk scare you into believing like therapy is bad and it's demonic and, you know, don't go sit on the, no, go sit on the couch. Get some hands laid on you and all of that stuff. How you fall out. Once you get up, right, make sure you make your appointment in the morning. Some unbiased counsel, because that could easily save your marriage. You know, it's a lot of stuff that you really probably didn't even know about yourself until you get in front of a professional, and they'll let you know they diagnose not just illness but personality. You know, therapy is powerful. You know, try to work it out. If it's not something like abuse or someone that's just extremely mishandling you, you know, disrespect or even cheating, you know, cheating ain't cool. You know, I know a lot of people, we magnify it and that, you know, it's some podcasts I'm going to deal with the whole cheating piece too. But no matter what the reason or whatever it is, ain't none of that cool, you know? And so, man, I hope this help, you know. If it didn't help, man, I appreciate y'all for listening to my story. That's been my story. Do I want to be married again? Absolutely. I've had the chance, you know, to be married. And I have, be honest, you know, run across some absolutely amazing women that I should have. And again, I take full responsibility. You know, it was me. You know, playing around, thinking I'm the man and all that old silly stuff. Because I still stand on, I think a man, and like I said, it's my opinion, but I think a man is at his, is not at full potential until he find himself next to that woman that can bring his potential out. And so I desire, that's on my top list, to be married again, have the family. To all you single folk that don't know, let me be honest, here it is. Marriage is one of the greatest things you could ever do. And I'm saying this in divorce. You get married, you're going to live an absolutely incredible life. Don't let these folks think, you know, I know you a lot of y'all like y'all space and all the stuff y'all saying. And, you know, one day you want to be and one day, you got to mature yourself. And I know the older you get and, you know, you find yourself not married or in a relationship, you get into these habits of being single, you know. But we're going to have those conversations. This going to be some absolutely incredible dialogue on Final Statement. And I'm going to bring some guests on with me, too. So, you know, it ain't just a one-side conversation. But, again, appreciate y'all tuning in. Tell your people, tell your cousins, tell your mama now. You know, Final Statement Podcast, subscribe, either Apple or Spotify. And make sure y'all go to my website, do all the amazing stuff on there. Text Blast, that's timdclinton.com. Love y'all. Peace out.